These moves have to be run past Tom Brady.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. 0% APR for 72 months on F-150s, Explorers, Escapes, and Edges. It all ends on Monday. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping. Get out there this weekend.
What the heck's going on over there?
All right, Ira. You're in your house. You see some water. You smell some mold. What do you do?
What do? I call Florida's Elite Restoration. Pronto. I don't waste any time. Florida's Elite Restoration. Look, there are certain things that go wrong in every house. Mold stands alone in many ways. And if you dilly-dally and waste time about addressing it, you've probably got a major problem on your hands. Alternatively, if you call Florida's Elite Restoration quickly, as you should, then a potential major problem gets handled in a prompt manner, an economical manner, and a quick manner.
And Sage, they will come to you free. They'll talk to you free. It's all free to figure out what's going on. FloridasElitereStoration.com is the website. FloridasElitereStoration.com. You can get information there, get all your contact numbers, reach out to them online. Great local company. As you said, Ira, they'll help you with any disaster possible.
Call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto.
These moves have to be run past Tom Brady.
All right, Bucks fans, July 31st, and that entitles you to a special bonus episode of the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, where you need to go shopping this weekend to take advantage of the end of these fantastic 0% financing offers for 72 months. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here, of Joe Bucks Fan as well, and the star of the show. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira the King of Pasco County. Sage, how are you today? The fans are yearning for your words of wisdom and sage advice. LeSean McCoy is in the house.
Oh, the Bucks don't need a veteran running back. Oh, no, they got a third-round pick. They got a seventh-round pick. They got Ronald Jones, the ever-improving man. They don't need any veteran running back. Now, I know what they're going to carp about. Oh, they would never have made this move if Vaughn hadn't come down with COVID. How do we know that? How do we know that? How do we know McCoy wouldn't be a Buck anyway? So I got more to say about McCoy as this podcast goes on. But for any of you juveniles out there who said the Bucks were well fortified at running back, including the general manager and the head coach, we're good. We're good. Here comes LeSean McCoy. The ball's in your court, DeCamper.
Finally. I can sum it up in one word. Finally.
Finally.
Now, I'm not expecting this guy to be Jim Otis or Eric Dickerson, or, you know, on and on and on. I don't expect that. I expect him to be a part-time guy. Maybe if someone gets hurt, a full-time guy. I don't expect him to be the number one running back. But I've been bellyaching for I don't know how many years for this team to get a veteran running back. I understand the team does not like running backs that are pushing 30. He's on the other side of 30. So that tells me this is either Brady shoving Arians, saying, what the hell are we doing here? Or it's Arians. That's my guess. One of those two guys were pushing for LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Brady, although the Bucks would freak out if I said that. But I wouldn't be surprised, because Brady, you know, how many times have the Patriots played Shady McCoy?
About
a dozen times, you know, at least. Brady knows all about him. So it would not shock me if Brady was stomping his feet, say, hey, man, what are we doing here? This guy's out there. This guy can play. What's going on? That's the best word I can think of. Finally. I don't know what took so long for this team to break down and finally admit, you know, maybe our running attack really does stink.
Steve, one point that Lee made in passing, and I think it's significant, is, you know, I used to write about this all the time, you know, 5, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, post-Gruden, I wrote a lot of stories, Steve, about how you look at the Buck roster, you know, the finalized roster, and there's like two guys that are 30 years old or older.
like 2 out of 53. It was like that year after year. You couldn't find a 32-year-old on the Buccaneers. You'd be hard-pressed. And now, Steve, and I'm not saying McCoy's going to play a significant role. He will be a role player. And by the way, say this in passing, Steve, I would rather have had Theo Riddick, who is still out there and who caught 80 balls, 80, for the Detroit Lions a few years back. And I think he's got more left in the tank than McCoy. He's not as good a runner as McCoy, but he's a heck of a receiver. I think that's what the Bucs need. But anyway, Steve, you talk about all in. All of a sudden, this roster's dotted with 30-year-olds. What a change of philosophy we've seen witnessed right in front of our eyes at One Buc Place.
Theo Riddick, I just spit my freaking coffee out all over. Come on, Ira, get me. Theo Riddick was out of football last year. Get out of here. But
excellent pass catcher, Steven. Excellent.
All right, Sage. I'm not against them bringing in anybody for a look, and I would love to see them bring in Theo Riddick for a long look. But I'm going to go back to what Lee said, and I'm going to say that, Ira, this is an ultimate and a clear call that Jason Light wasn't part of this at all. You know, Bruce Arians, his track record says it all. In 2017 with the Cardinals, what did he do? He brought in 32-year-old Adrian Peterson, who many people thought was washed up. Last year, what was he crowing about and barking about before he took the Bucs job? Andre Ellington is coming off the street at 30 years old. He's the guy. He's healthier than ever, blah, blah, blah. So you know what? Arians does like these older running backs. Now we've got another one, and I like McCoy's versatility here because you know what? No, we don't expect him to carry the load, but I think he could do it if he had to for a couple of games, and he's certainly not someone who's going to wet his pants if he has to play in January. I like the move. There are a lot of other reasons that we'll talk about, but I smell Jason Light sitting in the corner pouting over this one.
Steve, I asked about LeSean McCoy about 2 years ago. I brought his name up a lot on our podcast. Now, that was 2 years ago. He had more in the tank 2 years ago than he does now. Andy Reid lost faith in him. He was a non-factor in the postseason. Damian Williams leaves the Chiefs. Now, I know they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's won back. And Damian Williams opts out, and they still don't sign LeSean McCoy back. Granted, only a day or two went by, but they could have. They could have. And here's the most important point, because Buc fans don't know a lot about McCoy. Lee, he holds the ball like it's a loaf of bread. He's very, very casual with the way he holds the football, especially after catching a ball in space. And he's had fumbling issues. And I think that's what drove him ultimately out of Kansas City. And it's not like they had any great replacements for him. But Reed lost faith in him. And you know how Arians is about giveaways, Lee. So I think McCoy's going to be on a short leash. And most importantly, and Lee, I'll put this right to you, does this move necessarily mean that the Bucs are worried about the Vaughn's availability going forward?
It sure smells like that. And a couple points before I get to Vaughn. I'm dubious about, you know, Arians is so sensitive about turnovers. His teams have a history of playing Santa Claus, including last year. So I don't buy the, oh, he's going to have a couple fumbles. He'll be out on the street before Sunday night, before midnight. No, I'm not buying that. The second one, I mean, most coaches would. I don't buy that with Arians. If he says that, it's all talk, it's all bark and no bite. With Vaughn, I mean, I think there's something to that. That may not be the reason. This training camp, if you want to call it training camp, this training camp is so precious. Every minute is precious for rookies. They had no offseason. The rookies lost 400 snaps. You know, remember, the rookies, they don't know the offense at all. You know, they're coming in brand new. They lost 400 snaps because of no OTA and no rookie minicamp. So they're way behind the eight ball as it is. Now, Vaughn comes in, and we don't know because they're not allowed to talk about it. We don't know if he actually is sick or if a relative of his sick. We don't know what the circumstances are. But if he's going to miss 2 weeks, let's say, if he's quarantined for 2 weeks, he is so behind the eight ball, it isn't funny. So I can't dismiss that that wasn't a motivation of some sort to sign Shady McCoy.
Sage, let me throw this out at you now that I've cleaned up after your Theo Riddick blast. Regarding LeSean McCoy and protecting the football, what he needs to do is to go with you to the Big Storm Tap Room and watch how when they serve you a Cuban and the fantastic Tangerine IPA, the Bramosa, how you cradle that high and tight and you don't let anyone near it and you take it down. Yeah, that's what he needs to do. And, of course, you will be at Big Storm Brewery all season long in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road, watching games with Bucks fans. Their brand-new outdoor area is almost finished, covered, and it's just going to be incredibly spectacular. Awesome football watching, Wi-Fi, the whole thing. But Big Storm beer is what you need to drink this weekend. The Bromosa, Ira, I'm going to send you some. I'm going to get some delivered to your house so you can enjoy it at the pool. And you can thank me later, as you like to say. BigStormBrewery.com is where fans can go and find where it's sold near them. They have what they call the Storm Tracker. You can find it on Joe Buck's Fan and find all the great Big Storm beers and get out to the tap rooms in Clearwater and by you, Ira, up on Success Drive in Newport Richey. It's a great point, though, you made, Ira, regarding the fumbling. That was an issue last year for McCoy in limited action. He had 3 fumbles, and you just can't do that. But you know what? I think he obviously knows that. I'm calling him a future Hall of Famer, Ira. Maybe you can quibble with that, but with 11,000 yards and 500 catches, that puts him in elite company. And if he even gets a few hundred yards with the Bucks, he's going to be like the 18th overall in history for rushing yards. So I'm putting him in that category. So he obviously knows he's got to protect the football. And also this year, you know, he's got Tom Brady, who's going to get in his ear like a wild man if he's not protecting the football, and McCoy knows that. But I wanted to ask you this, Ira, forgetting about, and we'll talk more about, Keyshawn Vaughn, do you think any of this has to do with Tom Brady had probably about a dozen, 14 practices with Dari Ogunbowale, and maybe he came in and said, look, I don't know if this guy has it.
I don't think there's any question that the Bucks make this move, which is a no-risk move. I can't knock the move. There's no risk. It ain't cheap. Doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. No, no harm done. No way they do this move without running it past Brady. Lee, I'm convinced of it. I don't think this should even be discussed. These moves have to be run past Tom Brady. I'm not saying he initiated it, but he's got to be involved. I mean, that is a man of Brady's stature. Brady's stature. If they pick up a reserve guard, they might run it past Tom Brady. If they replace Matt Gay, they might run that past Tom Brady. That's just the way it is. It's his team right now, and any kind of move, especially on offense involving a running back or a wide receiver, he's going to have some input. Doesn't mean he was the driving force, but he commands that kind of respect. He commands that kind of input. And Lee, I'm not saying that this McCoy move, you should automatically assume that the Bucks are worried about Vaughn. I think we could separate the two, but the timing is interesting. They've had since March to pick up Shady McCoy. They didn't make a move. They were never linked to him. There were no rumors about the Bucks and McCoy. And literally within days of Vaughn being in quarantine, McCoy's a Buck. No risk move. Can't knock it.
There is some smoke signals out there. I wrote about this last night on JoeBucksFan.com that this didn't come in the last day or two. Over the weekend, the player with the Eagles, defensive back, he shares the same agent as Shady McCoy, the Oilers' Drew Rosenhaus. And he twittered McCoy, goes, I hear you're wanting to play for a contender. Are you chasing another championship? Wow. And he replied, hell yeah. And that was on Sunday. So this has been going on reading the smoke signals, I'm guessing they were in talks with Rosenhaus for at least a week. At least a week.
And Steve, isn't Rosenhaus now representing Freeman?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up is that, you know, Devonta Freeman, of course, changed agents and he went with Rosenhaus. And, you know, that creates another dynamic there that, you know, you almost get the feeling that, hey, Rosenhaus might have told McCoy, look, the Bucks are, this is where the Bucks are. And we don't know what was going on with McCoy previously, of course. That'll be interesting to find out when they started really talking to him, because a veteran of his status, Ira, you know, he's not just going to play anywhere. And I look at his history of playing in Philly and being from Pittsburgh and playing in Buffalo and being willing to play there long term and then going to Kansas City. This is not a guy who necessarily, you could almost make the case, maybe he didn't want to play in hot weather. Not everybody loves it like that. And McCoy, if you remember, one of the things about his unique history is that he was the guy, every time it snowed in Buffalo, he would run for like 100, 200 yards, and it was like everybody else was playing in the sludge of snow, and he wasn't. And you know, there's some great video out there of that, of YouTube. I don't know. We just don't know if McCoy maybe, you know, had this on the back burner with the Bucks and was like, hey, let me look around more first.
Remember, Arrington said that he had no rookies penciled in as a starter. Now, I'd also know that he said he had no intention of making any adjustments at running back, and look what happened.
Hey, Stevie, my boy Cam Brate says he's fit as a fiddle over there, but fit as a fiddle, 100% over his problems. That brings a gleam to my eye, because I have tabbed Cameron Brate as a big beneficiary of Tom Brady's presence at One Buck Place. You guys are scoffing at me. You guys are laughing at me. You got O.J. Howard catching 85 footballs with Brady. And I say somehow, some way, Brate is going to establish a rapport with Mr. Brady. And we shall see, gentlemen.
Sage, I asked Cam Brate that question just for you. I asked him, football-wise, forget about the virus, football-wise, how you feeling? And he was pretty clear. He said, you know, all this extra time to rest and get fit. He said he was working out in his friend's shed during lockdown. And, you know, bottom line is he's been injured the last couple of years. And, you know, now he's starting fresh. He says he's good. So I'm rooting for you, Sage, to win your little friendly wager that we have.
It's very interesting how often Gronkowski's going to be on the field, guys. Is there a sense that you want him fresh for a late season push? I don't know. This dynamic with the three tight ends, I have no idea how this is going to go with these three tight ends. And that's if Howard is still on the roster.
You have a hunch that Howard's still going to be traded to New England, don't you?
You know, if they can get a decent pick for him, I say you gotta go.
They're clearly in the win now mode. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. If people weren't convinced of that with Brady, they should be convinced of that with Shady McCoy. There's no doubt about it. It might even be a one-year window, which I suspected. I wrote about this a couple days ago. Given the new salary cap next year, in theory, the estimate, they're going to have to shave salary next year. So there might be a one-year window. And if that's the case, if you're going for broke this year, then yeah, I'd get rid of Howard if you can get draft picks down the road.
By the way, Steve, I haven't heard you weigh in on $5 making the top 100. And, you know, normally we don't pay that much attention to lists, but Steve, if it's a list with voting by the players instead of, you know, clowns like me and Peter King, then, you know, then it takes on added value. Four of the top 38. I mean, it's not written in stone. You don't have to agree with it, but this is a player survey.
Sure.
Four of the top 38 players happen to be in Tampa. I don't know a team that's got more than four of those top 38, maybe New Orleans, maybe. But that kind of tells you that you got to get your act together, Arians. You got to win 10 games, Arians. It's not a perfect football team. Special teams stink. Penalties. Turnovers, huge problem. Discipline. But, Steve, top four of the top 38, that doesn't include Gronkowski or JPP, gentlemen. Steve, there's talent on this roster.
Exactly. It sort of wipes out all the excuses. Anybody who didn't read Ira's column that he's referring to talks about Bruce Arians and his legacy and sort of that he has to really get it in gear this year. And I know you mentioned that tidbit there, Ira, and bottom line is you can't run the talent excuse out there, and you certainly can't run the experience excuse out there, and you can't run the first-year head coach excuse out there. So what do you got? Nothing. You know, rest assured, Ira, if the Bucks somehow horribly come in at 7-9 this year, you'll hear me screaming to fire Arians, because anything else would be unacceptable, barring a loss of Tom Brady.
Right. That's the caveat, Lee, is if Brady goes down, all bets are off. And if Brady's healthy, Lee, I agree with Steve. No excuses.
If Brady's healthy, no need to expand upon that.
Yeah, you got Brady and you have a losing season with this roster, then not acceptable. Not acceptable. I wanted to note this. Last month, I listened to McCoy on the Tiki and Tierney show on CBS Sports Radio. Very interesting interview. I didn't realize what a community guy he is, what a real, how involved he is with his foundation and all that. And one thing he was talking about there, Ira, was his desire. And he was very clear that he was trying to get back to the Eagles. And so that might have been a factor here, why maybe he wanted to exhaust that all the way till the end and see what happens. But just wanted to put that out there.
You know, the Eagles, they're a funky team, guys. They probably go as Wentz goes. And I like Wentz. You know, I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league, when healthy. You know, they do some things well. They got Fletcher Cox. They got some players. I don't know. They don't seem to have a number one receiver. I don't see a number one back necessarily. The Eagles are a funny team, Lee. I can't get a handle on them.
Didn't they trade for Goodwin? Not Godwin, but Goodwin with San Francisco, and they were looking to make him a number one back. That could be.
That could be.
Then the guy bails on the season because of the Colts. So they're, you know, crap out of luck there. Eagles are a good team, but yeah, it's hard to see them dominant. By the way, the Eagles player I was trying to think of earlier that twittered Shady McCoy was Jalen Mills.
That's right. And Steve, it's worth mentioning that Mr. Rosenhaus also is the loyal representative of one Shaq Barrett. And he's hoping that Barrett has a big year, because if he does, Barrett and Rosenhaus are both going to cash in. Let's get this out there. To be fair to Jason Light, in terms of Shaq Barrett, who I don't think there's even a question, was the best free agent acquisition of 2019.
Oh, yeah.
You know, look, we bandied it about on the podcast, you know, what kind of input did Todd Bowles have? And I think it was significant. But, look, we're giving Light all the grief over the lousy free agent acquisitions over the years. And I'm going to give Light the credit for Shaq Barrett. And it's a hell of a lot of credit, because he was one hell of a pickup last year.
When is the last time an NFL general manager made so many splash acquisitions as Light did this offseason?
Yeah, I read your story, Lee. It was well done. You know, look, when Light does something right, you got to give him credit. For example, some of those young defensive backs, and I'm not sure about Bunting. My jury's out on Bunting. We'll see. My jury's a little bit out on Whitehead. But, you know, Davis and Dean, they show a lot of promise, guys. They do. Look, it's hard for young cornerbacks to make a splash right off the bat. This is not a running back or a wide receiver. It's probably the toughest job in football next to quarterback, especially with the rules. Light's done some nice things. Devin White's not a bum pick. Vita Vea, not a bum pick. He's on the way back. He's on the comeback trail, but he's not there yet.
Oh, absolutely. I want to remind everybody that your podcast can be found at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, even the new Google Podcast platform. And we appreciate everybody listening. Podbean, you can leave a review if you want. The Sage loves feedback. Back in 2011, Ira, I'm sure you remember this, the Dream Team, it was called, the Philadelphia Eagles, signed a massive haul of free agents. Nnamdi Asamoah was the big name, the most expensive corner ever. They had Jason Babin was a free agent Pro Bowler, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and they brought in Vince Young, and all this stuff that they did, it didn't pan out. They went 8-8, and then the team went in the toilet, and Andy Reid couldn't gel it. But, there haven't been many like this, and this is, you know, we have to see how it plays out, of course, but it's fun, and certainly we appreciate how it all came together, positive and negative, for Jason Light. Before we get out of here, Ira, on this special edition, I want to remind everybody to get out to Bill Curry Ford this weekend to start shopping online, BillCurryFord.com. Saturday, General Manager Sean Sullivan will be there all day making deals and helping people and talking to you and guiding you and really looking out for your best interests like you expect from a family-owned dealership. And Sage, this is what I wanted to toss past you, because we're all sitting on pins and needles. I was listening to Tom Pelissero on Sirius the other day, and he's sort of the resident NFL Network expert on the labor talks. And he made it very clear, that he expects a second wave of opt-outs, a large second wave, because until that CBA letter is signed and finalized, which triggers a one-week window because they're still working on language of the opt-outs, he said there are a lot of agents who are telling players, don't do anything until that thing is officially signed. If you have to go to your facility to get tested and sort of play along, do that, but don't do a thing until we have all the details.
You know, Steve, that is the big X factor that we don't know about. So far, so good. If you're a Buck fan, zero opt-outs. But Lee, the door is not closed in that regard. Far from it. It could happen. You know, Chief fans didn't expect Damian Williams to opt out. Even if he had to play a secondary role to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Williams was a valuable player. Williams could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. He's a very, very good postseason player. And he's coming off a championship. And, of course, he wanted to defend it, but he made a personal decision. Every Buck player is grappling with these issues. Donovan Smith's been the most vocal, Lee. You still can't say for certain that Donovan Smith's going to be at left tackle in the Superdome in week one. You can't say that definitively. And it's not because he's going to lose his job, of course. If he's on a roster, he's starting. But a couple of key opt-outs could wreck any football team, any of the 32 football teams, including the Bucks, and we're just going to have to take a wait-and-see attitude on this.
I don't blame any player for the opt-out. I don't blame any player. However, there's a major however here. I'm not like Jason Lockenfora, who wrote a column, a haughty column, there's a word for you, Ira, a haughty column where he basically scolded fans, it's none of your business if they opt out. Well, you're a season ticket holder paying thousands of dollars, it damn right is your business, because you got an investment, number one. Number two, a public figure. Sorry, you're a public figure, so you better expect some blowback if you're a public figure, if you opt out when the majority of players are opting in. And most people, when I say most people, what, 95% of the country, you got to go to work. Doesn't matter. You know, virus or no virus, you got to go to work. I've always gotten along with Donovan Smith. I know he's not media friendly, but I've always gotten along with him. I've always defended his play. You know, and he seems to be a lightning rod for fans. He is not popular by any stretch of the imagination. And I was talking yesterday as a hardcore Bucks fan. I mean, this guy has season tickets. This guy has, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars invested in Bucks gear. This guy can't read enough Bucks information. He reads Joe Bucks fan daily, if not multiple times a day. And he told me, if Donovan Smith opts out this season, I think if he opts out, the fans will run him out anywhere near the city limits of Tampa the rest of his life.
And Steve, I'm going to reiterate something I said. You may not agree, Steve, but I think human nature tells me that with rare exception, players who opt out will not be looked at the same, and I'm not talking about from their fan base. I'm talking about from their comrades, from their teammates. They will not be looked at exactly the same because the feeling is, hey, we sucked it up. We toiled for 5 months, blood, sweat, and tears, and you didn't. And now you want to come back on the team the next year. Be right or wrong. I think that's going to be the case.
I agree with you, Ira. It's human nature. You know, especially just imagine there's another offensive lineman who unfortunately gets the virus, is sick, is out for 4 weeks, comes back and is grinding it out. You know, it's just human nature. All right, Sage, speaking of human nature, we are out of here. You need to stuff your face and enjoy yourself this weekend. And Ira, it's been fun doing this emergency / third bonus podcast as we get ready for August and some great things.
And Steve, I just want to add this on the way out. When I order my yummy Reuben at Big Storm, I tuck it tight to my body because Cosmo is sitting there salivating. He loves the Reuben, as do I. Anytime a little piece falls down, it's a free for all. Hold your Reuben high and tight and enjoy.
What do I do? I call Florida's elite restoration pronto. I don't waste any time.